Under the skin. Hello and welcome to Under the Scales. This is the first Under the Scales in a while in season two. Some of you may have noticed, and I know that a couple of you have noticed because you told me as much, that there haven't been as many Under the Scales as you've been expecting. So yes, I am digging myself out of a hole a little bit, a hole of busyness, getting Osiris off the ground and another podcast off the ground, State of the Garden. But also in season two, I was kind of hoping by now that a change would have happened. I was looking for a co-host. I was looking for a permanent editor. But it's still just good old me. However, today I'm happy that I'm with my friend Tebow. Hi, Tebow.
Hey.
And, we are here to talk about a concert that we went to last year. What was the date on that one, Tebow? Come on.
It was Labor Day weekend.
Of what year?
Which it is every year. Last year.
2017.
Yeah.
Okay, so summer 2017, or September 2017, we are in Colorado, and we're seeing the famous Dick's shows. And why, Tebow, why are you in this room with me right now? It's because this is the show that you've been trying to get me to go to for years and years and years.
Just the Dick's run is always the greatest way to end the summer, and you could never go because of the kids. And you'd be taking them to college, or before that, you'd have school things, and
exactly,
you weren't able to go, so I had such a great time. I raved about it for the whole next couple of years until you finally were able to go.
Yep, finally convinced to go.
There we were.
Yeah. So, you know, it's one of the biggest and best Shakedown Streets of fish. It's a very, very large, possibly the largest kind of stadium type venue they play, outdoor venue.
Yeah, it's like a soccer stadium or something, one of those outdoor.
Big outdoor soccer stadium. And it's also well known because it's usually a 3 day in a row concert and the time of year, et cetera. It's like perfect, beautiful in Colorado. And I'd never been, and so it was sort of special. So that's one thing I want to say. The other thing I want to say is Under the Scales is a proud member of the Osiris family of podcasts. Find other music and culture podcasts at osirispod.com. That's important to say. And another important thing to say is, Tebow, I saw you just take a sip of that really good bourbon, and I have a sip here too. Hold on. Listen to this.
I love it.
Ah, whoa, wow. If you could read that bottle
it
to
says,
the audience.
Lick the coil. Tom Marshall.
Not that side, you fool. So, oh man. Well, actually, all right. That requires explanation.
It says it.
I know, it does. That requires explanation. So, my new sponsor, Bullet Bourbon, had me do a bottle signing last November in Long Island at a beautiful liquor store. And, you know, I was very pleased to see about 200 people show up. So I signed a lot of bottles that night.
We were worried no one was going to show up just from a humble point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. I told them.
A line went out the door. It was so great.
Right. I told my wonderful hosts not to, you know, I'm not in fish and not to expect anyone to show up for a bottle signing by Tom Marshall. Little did I know, and much to, and thank you for anyone who did come. It was really heartwarming, and I signed every single bottle given to me, and this bottle was somehow left over, and I got it in a roundabout way. I got it later, because I actually walked away from there with no Bullet Bourbon bottles, even though they had offered me almost five or six of them.
It's funny, I did.
I know. They were sitting, there was, I think, five or six that they were expecting me to take home, and I just forgot them. But I wound up with one that I signed. So I signed this one to myself. But anyway, drink Bullet Bourbon, bullet.com. And that's BULLEIT.com. And it's a frontier whiskey. I talked on another podcast about Thomas Bullet, the founder, actually the new founder who revived a family recipe from a long time ago, from the 1830s. Anyway, check it out. It's the only bourbon I drink, Bullet Bourbon. Thanks a lot. All right, we're back in the flow of podcasting, and we were about to talk about the scene. So we decided it's my first attempt ever at a live sort of podcasting event where we were just going to walk around with an open mic. And we'd been partying, and we decided to continue the party out on the lot and turn the mic on and see what happens. And Tebow, how would you describe kind of what happened?
Just it's a clusterfuck, but a good one. It's a chance for just what's great about a tailgate and about a shakedown street is just meeting people and like-minded people and even some not like-minded people.
And describe the band a little bit that we were standing next to when we turned the mic on.
Pro Leisure.
Yep.
They're a great band. It's sort of a mix of people I know and you know, and they get together on tour and they just play. And if we're in a hotel room, they'll play till 4 a.m. And if they're at a shakedown, they'll play out in the street.
4 a.m.
Yeah. After the show. But right. It goes back to the whole basically being deadheads and
band of brothers, actually, and sisters who have been going to the Dick's lot for years, and they know how to bring, they come equipped, let's say, that the massive tent that the band set up under was incredibly useful because the sun was very, very hot, and they have generators for their instruments and amps. They coolers. Have tons of coolers of wonderful food and drinks, and you almost just want to stay there, but for the incredible scenery around you. So, all right, I believe we set the scene well enough, Tebow. Let's show what happened when we pressed record for the very first time, okay? And then we'll come back with some commentary.
Are you thinking of the Gorge?
All right, welcome to an incredibly special version of Under the Scales. We're here at Dick's in Colorado, second night, and we are live roving the most amazing shakedown street that exists on Fish Tour. And I'm here with three of my very, very best friends. Stephen Thomas, say hello, Stephen.
You can even buy a baby on Shakedown Street.
Stephen bought a baby and then had to return it. Something was wrong with the paperwork. And then Scott, what's going on? Scott Gray.
Hi.
That's what Scott had for you, my podcast audience. He had hi. And dude of life, he's going to have more than hi. Watch. Ready?
Hello.
Two syllables. Changed it up.
He upped it. He 100% went higher than Scott Gray. Anyway, we're here in the sun, very hot sun, and we're listening to this amazing band called Pro Leisure. And I'm going to interrupt the guitarist who's actually playing music live right now. It's a dick move, but I'm going to do it. David Haynes, how are you?
Very well, Tom. Good to see you.
Great to see you. So, David, your sister went to school with me and Trey.
That's true.
So, Susie, shout out Susie Haynes.
Susie Haynes, shout out.
One of the prettiest girls in our class.
Yeah,
totally.
I saw Trey at Wan Eve, true story. He's backstage talking to Charlie Jakes, and he goes, Susie Haynes invited me over one night, and I did this pebble throwing at her window, and she opened up the window and said, I changed my mind. And then he looked at Charlie and goes, true story, and he hit the stage. And I was like, that's a funny story.
That's hilarious. But you know what? Like, you got to try.
Yeah, you got to try.
Thanks, Dave. We're going to listen to a little bit of your music later. It looks like you have a very young guitarist over here.
Absolutely.
I mean, very young.
Yeah, we import him young here in Colorado.
So who is that guy?
That is Jackson Cook.
I know the Cook family very well.
Yes, absolutely. Some more Princeton folk here showing up in Boulder, Colorado, or in Colorado in general.
All right. Thanks, David.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, man. Hey, Jackson. You got introduced by David. He said that you're a very young member of his team. What's going on? How old are you?
I'm 14, but I'm actually 40 in spirit.
40 in spirit. And have you ever had a beer?
I'm not gonna say anything about that. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's do it this way then. How many fish shows have you gone to in your life?
60 something.
You don't know?
I've lost track a while ago, Tom.
60 something is more than most people have ever gone to. Congratulations to that at 14 years of age. And I'm excited. I'm not gonna interrupt you guys anymore. Take it easy. We're gonna rove the lot now. Except I want to say hi to Jack.
What's up?
Jack was the host of Trey, Anastasio, and Tom Marshall writing session. called Cook Cabin, and we wrote Let Me Lie There, among other things.
Oh, yeah, that was good. I'm still waiting for Cook Cabin to come out.
Cook Cabin's a great song. That will come out, I promise.
It will be great.
The first line alone.
This is our house. The doors open wide. It welcomes you to all inside. And if the stars line up tonight, then you and I will be all right. All right.
All right, here we go. I'm going to stop bothering these guys.
Hey, it's not your first, it's your first fish show, huh? But it's not your first Pro Leisure show.
This is, oh, this isn't?
No, we met you actually in his attic a couple years ago at a PDS reunion.
Yes, okay. Yeah. All right, I've seen this band before. Pro Leisure, ladies and gentlemen.
So I think I knew that I had seen Pro Leisure before. They had been in Princeton, and they'd practiced and played, and I'd been up in the barn.
You sang with them.
Yeah, and we sang.
Just
we
a jam fun night up in the barn of Jack's house.
And right.
Done that many times.
So I'd definitely seen them, but someone in the band was letting me know that this was my second Pro Leisure concert, which is great. My first Dick's show and second Pro Leisure show happened at the same time. So I feel lucky and blessed in that way. A gang of four of us, me, Tebow, Scott, and the Dude of Life, and I think we were being assisted by Greer, a friend of ours. Right? Isn't that right?
Yep, she was there. I think she has some pictures.
Yeah, I think she was the photo documentarian of this wonderful mission. And you'll see it was kind of like a mission to nowhere, and yet there's little snippets of brilliance here and there. But one of the first missions that we took was to the porta pots.
So we decided before we go interview random people in the lot that we had to visit the porta pots before they got inundated. And right here in front of the porta pots, we found a guy with a real cool. It looks like some really good art. It's a nice poster. It's kind of shiny, shimmery ink of some kind. And it looks like a tree. It says Colorado, September 1 through 3, 2017. And it's by Rose. That's your last name?
John Rose.
So we're talking to John Rose, the artist right here. It's very beautiful. And at the very top of the pine tree, so there's like a portion of the roots and the bedrock that the tree's, you know, growing from. But at the very top, it's impaled a cabin. And in that cabin, I feel that some very nasty stuff has happened, plus wonderful things, too. What does the artist have to say about that?
Exactly right.
I have a question. So you sell these all through the 3 days you're selling them, how are sales going?
Oh, really well. You know, I'm on target to get rid of all of them. But no, it's been really good. And, you know, I've been doing this for like 6 years up here now.
Not really.
It's nice to run into, you know, people I've met the previous years and stuff.
Like
and
Scott.
Friends. And
now, John, so you've got like a nature motif going here.
That's right, yeah.
Now, what I'm wondering is that why you chose to sell them in front of the porta potties?
Well,
nature calls.
That's right.
You have a captive audience.
Yeah.
You got a captive audience. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Greg, would you mind getting a photo of the art as well? Because we're too cheap to buy it.
I don't want to carry it.
We've got to move. Number one,
send it to me.
Yeah.
Send it to us.
Yeah.
No, but what we do, just so you know, is we take pictures of it and then we sell it for half price.
Are you guys the Redbubble guys?
We noticed there's no like.
Hey, it's been happening to our music, so we're gonna do it to you artists
too. Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Yeah. We noticed there's no TM on the picture.
Turnabout is fair play.
Right. We're rolling.
Thanks.
Good to see you, John. Yeah.
So Tebow, I hope someone actually bought one of his posters after we kind of insulted him.
I don't know if we insulted him. We actually did like the poster.
Yeah.
It's okay. Just we were, you know, it was Shakedown Street.
We were mobile. Okay. So anyway, that was John Rose, and he had a cool poster, and I hope someone listening, or several of you listening, have it on your wall, and you're looking at it right now. Moving ahead, I believe we started checking out some of the vendors that had official setups and tables and stuff. Let's see if that's what happens now.
So we're walking through Shakedown, and it's incredibly noisy and hustle and bustle, and there's poster art being sold to the left, nitrous balloons being sold to the right, and a nice looking woman right here selling.
Hello.
Are you selling anything or are you just hanging out?
Oh, I'm just hanging to checking out the goods.
That's what we're doing, yeah. Hi, I'm Tom.
I know you are. And I listen to your podcast.
Oh, well, you're about to be on it.
Yay! Awesome. It's nice to meet you.
All right, so as we keep moving through the crowd, we're looking to find something compelling to talk about. And here we go. I think we found it. Okay, so the people I'm with, their eye was caught with this incredible glass display. It's sort of like this layout on this table, a portable table of incredibly beautiful hand-blown ways of getting stoned with marijuana. And I've never actually, I'm not a huge fan of pipes or smoking with glass pipes. I'm not a huge fan of smoking at all. And yet, there's something compelling about these pipes. These beautiful, hand-blown. Are you the actual artist that does this?
Yes, I am.
Do you consent to being interviewed?
I do.
And everything that entails?
Sure.
And I don't even know what that means. Anyway, I'm noticing some extremely beautiful, extravagant, exquisite, detailed art here. For example, this piece, could you walk us through that one?
This is a gold and silver fume water pipe. It's 12 inches long. It has Illuminati, so it's a UV reactive with black light.
Yeah, it looks like it's shimmering in a very strange way.
Yeah.
So you have some chemical in the glass.
Yes, it's a particular color called Illuminati.
Illuminati is the color. And is this for smoking weed or other stuff?
It could be for whatever, as long as you're in a legal state.
Okay. That's very cool. And is that water involved with that one?
This is water, yep.
Okay.
It holds quite a bit of water, actually.
Very cool.
By the way, do they work?
They do work. They work very well, yes.
Can we try them?
Well done. Except,
really?
Don't
you... Do you have samples that we can try? Or?
I do not have samples.
Well, then how are we going to...
That's a good legal answer.
I think they all work the same, right?
I couldn't help noticing that you have a Sylvester the Cat... hanging sort of uncomfortably behind you.
Yeah, he's not very comfortable, but he'll be comfortable in a few hours.
Will you be wearing that tonight?
That is my Saturday Dicks tradition.
You're going to wear that?
Sylvester.
Oh, fantastic. What's your name?
So that's a lot. Cody Bittner.
Cody. All right, you guys, if you want glass, get it from Cody. It's good stuff. Anyway, thank you very much.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
I saw your shit and I was like, dude, this is it.
Is this you?
This is it.
Yeah, it is. Yes.
Cody's company is actually called SS Stash Glass.
He said he doesn't care about it.
Beautiful stuff.
So, Tebow, that was beautiful glassware, and I'm glad we got that guy's name.
And again, tons of just, and obviously people have been there now, but it's just rows and rows of people selling everything that you can imagine.
Right. So this just happened to be the first
food,
one we walked up
drinks,
to. Right.
Glass, posters, everything, pictures. Yeah. My favorite thing is the t-shirts and all the different funny and still looking for actually an adult Sleeping Monkey t-shirt. There's baby Sleeping Monkeys.
There it is.
But I need the adult one for a guy I know who wrote the song.
Ah, okay.
Wait, that's a Christmas present. So pretend you didn't hear that.
I was going to say using the podcast to get something and then
swag.
It's for me. So now I feel bad that
Sleepy Monkey
that I thought that about.
Large, extra large, actually.
XL. So Tiba, from here, if you recall, we went from glass, which is hard. It's one of nature's hard. It's not even nature, is it? It's a very hard substance to something a little bit softer. And in your case, much, much softer.
You'll
see what we mean.
You forget,
soon.
I'm the only one with a picture of the girl selling these items actually hitting you in the head with them.
All right, I think we've foreshadowed enough, and it's kind of embarrassing what happened. I did get hit.
I will release a picture if I find a sleeping monkey t-shirt.
Okay. I did get hit in the face with something that's no one should be hit in the face with. At least not me.
Would you mind telling us what you're holding in your hand right now?
I have a Fishman Donut dildo for smacking individuals with.
And how many so far have been the lucky recipient of your smack?
One, two, three.
I see lots of hands run up.
Oh, you little dick slap right there, yeah.
Male and female.
Male and female, that's
yes,
correct.
No, so anyone can get a dick slap.
Anybody, would you like a dick slap?
I don't want one, no. Wait.
You asked, you
yes,
asked no, you
yes,
did.
He does.
Yes.
Hold on.
Oh, all right, ready?
I just got a Fishman dildo dick slap,
yes.
And I got to tell you, it didn't feel that great.
Oh, yeah. Tebow has a picture. Wait a minute. How much are these?
These things are $30.
$30. Yeah.
The dick slap is $30?
Yes, the dick is slap. Yes.
No, the dick itself. The slap is free.
I don't know. I think she should charge.
That was like more like a dick poke.
I think you can make money.
You know what? I know, right?
You know what?
I think so, too.
You know what?
That didn't feel at all real. Like, you know what I mean?
And now I turn off the recorder.
Yes.
So even Scott got the dick slap, well, treatment or whatever it was.
Well, I have a question. How many times do you think Scott's been dick poked?
Yeah. How did he know what felt real?
Because that would have been my first, personally, but... So I wouldn't have anything to base it on. Anyway.
So anyway, a $30 Fishman penis facsimile was for sale at Dick's, among several other interesting things. I guess we're just going to forge ahead here. What comes next? Do you recall?
So we're kind of reaching the end of one leg.
Baby bibs.
Of the shakedown. Now we're kind of rounding the corner. We're making a right.
Dude.
And we just saw baby bibs. Hey, how are you?
I met you. No, no.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't consent.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I met you at the Baker's Dozen.
You met me? Are you sure it wasn't a facsimile because I have lots of doubles, body doubles?
I'm assuming it's you, but yeah, I thanked you for the podcast.
You're so welcome. And by the way, you're now on the podcast.
Oh, crap.
So what's your name and where are you from?
I'm Piper Fluffy.
Piper Fluffy?
Popper Fluffy.
Popper Fluffy.
Popper Fluffy.
Popper Fluffy. Oh, yeah. Cool. And where are you from? What? Where do you hail from?
I live in Dale, Colorado.
All right. So a Coloradian, a native Coloradian.
Hey, yo, I just wanted to thank you for your lyrics, dude.
You're so welcome.
Man, dude.
And I appreciate it. Thank you
Without
for the
your
thank
lyrics,
you.
Actually,
thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, it was good meeting you again, man.
Okay. That's cool.
I don't know if I even have a...
So, Tebow, that was nice. You know, we kind of got to the end of one aisle, and I guess there's like three big aisles of Shakedown, or four. It seemed like...
We're 16.
There's a lot. So we got to the end of one, and we were rounding the corner, and then we bump into this guy, Papa Fluffy. Hello, Papa. You're on the podcast, as I promised. And then as we, round the corner, the coveted end slot, where everyone goes to, it's a good place to be. It's very high visibility. We see a super professional looking grilled cheese, double grilled cheese table or whatever they have advertised. But next to the table, they had brought their, child, and this individual child was young, probably in the 9 category, I would say, 9 years old, and was in charge of a candy concession. Although the embarrassing part, Steve, if you remember.
Yeah, you fucked up.
I fucked up. I thought it was a girl and it was a boy. And
he let you know.
And he let me know.
Nothing bad.
Nothing really bad, but I was sort of embarrassed, and finally he'd had enough and said, I'm a boy. And right then I was kind of on to the parent part of the interview. And I don't know if you remember, but I was like kind of disheartened and embarrassed and didn't know what to do and thinking like, oh shit, I got to do this whole interview again. And I just sort of walked away. As the parents were talking. So listen to this like embarrassing interlude and sort of window into my mishandling a situation.
All right, the dude of life and I are approaching a very strange thing called double grilled cheese, $5. And it looks like a beautiful setup.
Five today.
And right to the left, it appears that there's a very young girl who's running the candy concession side of Double Grilled Cheese.
She was calling us over.
She called us over. Hi, how are you?
Good.
Where are you from and what's your name?
I'm from Chesanina. My name's Dean.
What state is that?
Chesanina.
Michigan.
You're in Michigan?
In Michigan.
That's a long drive. Did you come down here with your parents?
Yeah, and I'm a YouTuber.
You're a YouTuber? Okay, whoa. Tell us how to get on your channel.
Yeah, what is your channel?
I Can Kids.
I Can Kids. I with a K-A-N, kids. Watch us on YouTube. iCanKids.com. And this nice girl is selling us candy. However, to the right, looks like one of the most professional grilled cheese setups I've ever seen. How are you?
Good. A little boy.
A little boy? Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry.
No. I'm okay.
Let's start over.
Kevin Bacon looks like
let's start
girl
over.
45, right?
I'll start over. What's your name again?
Dean. I'm a boy.
How old are you, Dean? 9? 8. You look like 9. You're tall.
Dude. How much for the Skittles?
So the last thing you heard is, I said to Steven, I said, I'm editing this whole thing out. And I heard you say, I'm going to re-up, meaning you want another drink. And right then when the dude of life was behind me, like he was still trying to engage the parents.
Yeah.
And
he didn't know the mic was gone.
Right. He turned around to look at me and I was gone. And he chased me and he was laughing like you just walked away. Although I had already turned off the recorder, but he was cracking up. It was kind of rude. And so I apologize to the Double Grill Cheese family and especially to Dean. And you're definitely a dude.
There, it's recording. Yeah. Okay. What's going on over here? What is it? What's this? What do you got? Hey.
3 for 20, guys. I do 3.
What is it?
Nothing. Where? Behind you.
Nothing?
Oh, this way. Just pick it up.
Why?
Stay with it.
Stop. Oh.
Ryan, hey.
Apparently, I caused a scene. What just happened?
Tighten it up, but keep moving.
What just happened? Is it me?
You're welcome.
He thought you copped him.
He thought I was a cop?
Yeah, he thought you narked him. So that was an example of my friend Scott Gray pretending not to know that he caused a scene, and that's sort of his mode. He's happy to cause a scene and then like turn around like, who, me? Like, so he walked into a nitrous balloon...
Farm.
And
except for it's out in the open,
rather than like waving a 20 and taking balloons as offered, he multiple times said, what is this? And right behind him were people with recorders and equipment. Yeah. And cameras. And then he wonders why they ran away.
So they took off as they often do. They're often a mobile.
Yeah. They're a mobile unit, always afraid of being busted. And with good reason, because they usually have a lot of cash on them. Right. And they make the fortune. I wonder how many balloons are in each one of those
tanks.
We
did the math once. I can't remember what the numbers were, but you and I were shocked at what one of those canisters holds. It's like 10 grand. And
I would say more, almost.
Maybe more. Maybe it was 20.
But it's so risky for them. And in a way, not in a way, it's not. It's hippie crack, everyone says. It's like, but it's not hippie at all. It's,
right. What I have a problem with.
It's like this bad ghetto gas.
We're like this environmental social band.
Yeah.
And we're hippies and we're into all this stuff. And yet after a show, you see plastic everywhere. Balloons.
Yeah.
Discarded everywhere. And I find it really disgusting. But I mean, and I have no problem with people getting a buzz on for a show. I don't see how this coincides with that. It just
right
there's it's a 10 second buzz or whatever it is,
right. It's
and
a
then
quick roller coaster.
It doesn't really really no place for it, and yet there it is, and it's probably getting worse.
That's the hippie crack, you know. It's like up and down very fast. And if it's dental quality, I've had fun with it, but often stuff that I've detected the scent of like almost oil in it or something automotive, and there is nitrous used for making engines faster. I don't know exactly how that works, but
well, it's probably cheaper to buy, and that's what they're selling some of these people on the lot. So
exactly. So
beware.
Yeah. So there's like an element of nastiness to it, and whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, Scott.
But it's still funny when you hear that hiss going.
It's funny, and Scott was able to scatter them and make them think he was a narc. All right, then moving forward.
Really want to praise
you. Hey, so we're walking around, you know, Shakedown, and we just got chased away by Nitrous Mafia, and weird shit happened. And all of a sudden, we bump into the wonderful people. Where are you guys from?
Denver.
We're here in Denver.
Awesome. And what are you guys' names?
My name is Leave.
And I'm Doug.
So Leave and Doug, we're kind of walking behind and couldn't help notice, but Leave had an amazing artificial leg, which seems to work as well as a normal leg. That is really an incredible leg.
Thank you. I agree. I love it.
So how long have you had that, and what happened? And give us a quick little rundown of it, because that leg, honestly, that's amazing.
All right, real fast. It's really terrible. I was in a hit and run in Bermuda, and I almost died.
Whoa.
But then I didn't. And I got medevaced back to Chicago, where I lived at the time.
Hit and run with a car, like a car hit you as a pedestrian?
As I was on a moped.
Okay.
I was in Bermuda. Did I say that? Anyway. Yeah. So this is called a sea leg. It's fancy. It's got all these fancy microprocessors in it.
It knows when you're moving forward, and then it locks your knee for the step, and then knows when to unlock your knee for the pickup.
Yeah, it's all sorts of stance phase.
Okay.
So it'll move for you.
Okay.
And you can put it into different modes.
Oh, my God.
You can do all sorts of things.
Different modes. Do you have a dance mode?
I'm always in dance mode. That's automatic.
So is there anything you can't do with a leg?
Kick a field goal?
No, I could do that. You would put it in lock. I can't go upstairs. I mean, I can. I just have to step one.
Stairs are tough.
Stairs are tough.
So you do your regular leg is the bendy one, and you pull the other leg behind you on stairs.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you look like no one could tell if you put pants on. The only reason we could tell was because you have shorts on.
Yes.
So Liv's below her knee, and it might even be higher, like closer to her thigh.
Yeah, it's right here, right above the knee.
But I got to say, this leg, anyway, if you don't have a leg.
This is the leg to get out there.
Yeah, be happy, because legs are getting better. Fake legs.
They are. They're also, they're spending.
Is this a particular brand?
Yes, this is an Ottobock. C-Leg 4, it's like an iPhone, but this is the version 4, and actually this is on loan.
Wow.
I'm waiting for my insurance company to approve it.
Could you
Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Say that title one more time.
It's Ottobock C-Leg 4.
Sponsor.
C-Leg 4.
That could be a title for a song.
I'm waiting for the C-Leg 5 myself, but C-Leg 4 is pretty awesome.
The 5's going to be dynamite. It's fantastic. I've heard about it.
Anyway.
This leg's pretty sexy.
This leg is very sexy, and really, really happy you guys are happy to, you know, kind of poke a little bit of humor at this.
Yeah.
Obviously terrible situation for you, and you're so happy. Really nice to meet people like you on Fish Tour.
Awesome meeting you guys.
Really good to meet you.
See you.
Have a great show tonight.
Keep dancing.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Take care.
So Tebow, Under the Scales every now and then is sort of, you know, philanthropic and does good for society, and I felt good about that segment. I think it made up for the, you know, the bad that we did with like
the heavy
nitrous. Every now and then, Under the Scales likes to portray the happy side of the Fish crowd, and Leave and Doug absolutely fit that model. I mean, we had been walking behind Leave, and I noticed the leg was moving fluidly like a human leg.
But you could tell it was.
Oh yeah, it was definitely like a bionic leg. It was really cool, titanium, and really awesome the way it moved. It moved just like her other leg. It was like a perfect walking gait, and yet, she had shorts on, so we could tell.
But I'd like to go on record and apologize to Leave about the kick a field goal line.
Okay, that was your line, yes. And then,
although she cracked up and
she liked it,
she I'm sure has heard it before, but it's not usually my sense of humor to. Okay, I'm lying. But still, I felt bad afterwards. Like that, we don't even know these people. But that's also Shakedown and Fish Tour.
It is.
You meet so many random people and different people, and it's so much fun.
You can tell, though, that was not going to hurt her feelings at all. She had a huge smile on her face. And Liev and Doug, again, thank you. You guys are awesome. And Liev, we wish you the best. And Tebow, I believe it was you that astutely shouted out.
Sponsor.
Yeah. So if the Autobach company, actually, I don't know the name of the company, but this whoever makes that
Autobach
leg.
C-Leg 4.
I said that I'm holding out for the C-Leg 5. We'll see. Maybe I'll still have usable legs by then. But if not, take hope, humanity. These new bionic limbs are fantastic.
Amazing.
So, okay, we're going to forge onwards.
And I grew up in Middlebury, Connecticut, right next door to Watertown.
Oh, no kidding.
Right? So
no
I went to Pomperog High School.
So basically, what this is about Brad.
Yeah.
Tell him about, because we're doing a podcast. And
okay.
So this is a tribute to, what's your name?
Yeah, Chris Doyle.
Chris Doyle. Yeah. His best friend was Brad.
Boudreaux. We called him Boo, just known by Boo.
He passed away. You want to tell him a little bit?
He passed away December 26th. And I'm actually in recovery myself. I've got 7 years of sobriety.
Oh, congratulations.
And, you know, my story kind of unfolded earlier than I found Fish, but along with my relationship with Fish and all the community here, it also unfolded with all the funny stuff that comes with this territory, too. But what I've also found throughout my own journey is a journey of recovery, you know.
So
but
a long time Fish fan. We lost a member of our fan.
Long time Fish fan. That's right.
Terrible.
I was on the phone with him twice the night that he passed away. He envied like you, and I know you sent him the sanity pin, the Sunoco signed sanity pin, and you had a handwritten note that you wrote him. And he took every opportunity to talk to Kuroda, and we were at Magna Ball, and he's like, they're gonna thank this. He always fed me tons of information. You know,
and we're gonna miss him, and it's a wonderful tribute.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, man.
Thank you guys for letting me say a few words.
Thank you. It's gonna be under the scales.
Nice. Great.
So Tebow, kind of continuing in this social benevolence mode, the dude of life finds a gentleman, Chris, who lost a very best friend.
Correct.
And his friend is Brad Boudreaux, and we wish Brad's and Chris's friends and family well. Very serious, obviously, subject. Believe it or not, right after this discussion that we had with the dude, thank you, Steve, for finding Chris, we bump into Bethany, who is a major cornerstone of the fan community, and you'll see why right now.
So we're hanging outside a band, a really good Grateful Dead cover band, and we were watching them for a while, and all of a sudden, walking into our group, we met Bethany. Bethany, what's up?
Hey guys, how are you today?
We're doing great, and Dude of Life knows you, and he says that you started something big. Dude, how do you know her?
I know her just through the Fish community. She's amazing, but she started
Fish Chicks.
Fish Chicks? Is that like Fish Dicks, but different?
Yeah, it's all chicks. No dudes are allowed. But in real life, we're all friends with everyone.
And how
really?
Many are there?
We have about almost 7,000 women at this point, and we started in February.
Wow. So my friend Scott can't join your group?
We'll put him through the ringer before we let him in, but probably not. He can come to our meetups, though, anytime if he wears a red headband.
I got to check this ringer out.
Do you have any?
I do. As long as you associate.
So,
pun not intended.
So, Bethany, if a chick wants to join your group,
mm-hmm.
What's the best way for them to do it?
Yeah, I mean, all females are welcome. If you like music, we don't care how many shows you've been to, as long as you just want to be in a positive community, like-minded women, and we're just all here to surrender to the flow and enjoy each other.
So, is there a website or?
It's a Facebook group, so it's Fish Chicks at Facebook. You'll see us on there. We have a little chicklet and a little fishman moo-moo with a female donut. It's very cute. I will give you guys some stickers now. Those of you who cannot see them.
We just got some.
So, Tebow, I think if you remember, which you don't, because I didn't until listening back to this, you and I got separated. And so, after I was talking with Bethany Barker, of course, who's the founder of Fish Chicks on Facebook. And she's later featured on an Osiris podcast, Female Centrics. So go check out her interview there. Okay, so that brings us all the way back to the band where we started. So we made sort of a circuitous route. Let's give you guys a little sample of their music and see if anyone else bumps into us.
So now there's about six more musicians on stage with our original Pro Leisure group. A banjo, a couple bongos, and a bass player. Sort of just evolved. They're all strangers. They just stop in and start playing.
We're missing our MVP, 13-year-old guitarist.
So, Tebow, that was kind of cool. You mentioned in that segment how other musicians just sort of walked up and started playing, and that's sort of the great feeling about Shakedown, right?
Yeah. Literally just people stop in, and a woman grabbed the mic and started singing. She was amazing, and everyone was cheering, and then she walked away.
Yep.
There was a unicorn dancing and a monkey and a girl in a monkey outfit. I think it was a girl.
The next day, out of your hotel room came a unicorn, just coincidentally, and a monkey. That's strange. But
wait, what?
All right. So Tebow takes pity for, you know, on people and lets them stay in his hotel room.
Unicorns, mostly.
Again, now sort of back to a little bit of a serious note. We had a great concert that night. And then the next day we went to a friend's house in Boulder, and there bumped into
Dave Haynes, and we always go because there's a pool and it's food, and Dave is the best host.
He's David Haynes is a great,
who grew up with his family, and
yep,
a Princeton guy,
great host. And if you recall, he was the guitarist that I interrupted in the middle of a song at the very beginning of this podcast. So thank you, David, for hosting a cool pool party in Boulder. And among the guests was a wonderful friend, Paige Clem, and I had a chance to sit down and talk to her about the fellowship. Paige is the founder of the fellowship, which enables fans, not just of Phish, but of many different music acts, to find a safe, sober place to enjoy the music from. Whether you hang out at their table or go into the audience, you always have a place to go and always have a place that's safe where you know there'll be other sober fans with you. And so check out what Paige has to say about that. And thanks a lot, Paige. All right, party's continuing. It's night three, or day three, really. And we're in Boulder, and we're at a pool party. And I've bumped into some really amazing people here, and one of them is Paige Clem. How are you, Paige?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day.
So, Paige, I know you. I know your name, mm-hmm. and this is the first time we've met, and it's really nice to meet you.
Me too.
But you have a huge history with the Phish crowd, the Phish audience, and the Phish fans, so to speak. You give them a safe place. Can you tell me a little bit about what that is?
Yeah. So I'm I was around in the late 90s, and I helped start a group that's gotten pretty well established in the community over the past 20 years called the Fellowship.
And that's with a PH.
That's Fellowship with a PH. And I can remember, like, driving back from North Carolina. We were trying to figure out what we were going to call this thing. And I was like, it would be good if it was an F word that we could do the PH spin on. And Fellowship popped into my mind, and it stuck. So, yeah, it's the Fellowship.
That's great. And is there...
Yeah, that's
Are you burning
that's part
down Dave's house?
There goes a smoke alarm again. So the Fellowship, is it something like you're there to provide assistance to fans that need it? Or is it more just like you provide companionship to sober fans? Or
right.
How is that?
It's extremely passive in terms of like how we are represented in the community. Because when we first started trying to get it together, it was really just about people that already had some sort of sobriety or clean time in their own worlds, trying to be able to find each other at shows. Because, you know, back in the early 90s, we didn't even... the internet was just kind of taking root, and we just wanted people to be able to have a way to connect at shows and find each other.
I see.
And in the beginning, it was all like, off the cuff, trying to find each other randomly. But enough people approached the band about it at different times that we were allowed to do some trial tables in 96, and then we came on tour in 97 full-time. So we've actually had a table at every show on tour for 20 years.
Since 96.
Since 97. Well, 96 was in the fall when we started, and 97 when we came on full-time. So to find us, to answer your question, we have a table. Usually it's somewhere in the proximity of where Waterwheel sets up nearby, but we always have a yellow balloon. And there's other sober music communities like that, like the Wharf Rats started it, and there's other ones now. But it's always the yellow balloon is how you can locate the table at a show.
Oh, that's fantastic. So really, you're already sober. You just want other sober people to experience the Fish show with, kind of thing.
That, you know, there's no hard and fast rules. We have a preamble that says the only requirement for membership is a desire to stay clean and sober at shows. We're not about like trying to get people into recovery. We're not a treatment center. We're not a 12-step program. It's really, we try to keep it really focused. And we kind of have an old joke that in between like the people that started going that it's just a fucking rock and roll concert, you know, like we don't need to make a big deal out of this, like keep it simple, we don't have to have a lot of rules, let's be there to provide support and traction for people that need it, and it covers the full spectrum of people. It's sometimes it's people that have been sober for a long time and that's kind of become their community. Sometimes what I didn't expect when we first got it going, which was just a beautiful offshoot, was that over time, as we got more established and people started to understand what we were and that we weren't proselytizing or trying to do anything, that we were just doing our thing, people could kind of see, like, well, those people seem like they're having a good time, and they look like legit fans, and they dance pretty hard, and maybe I can have a good time and not have to, you know, get wasted if that's your problem. We have no judgment on it. Everybody, you know, it's mix and mingle. Everybody's here for a good time. So it's never been like a, you shouldn't do this. It's really for the individual who knows their own space and what they need to be able to do. But as a result, people like have ended up getting sober at home after like connecting with the fellowship on tour or seeing it. And like, I saw you guys and I realized that I've had a problem and I can actually do something about it. Wow. And so I've had people
and I can have fun like doing my favorite thing, which is seeing Fish.
It's not the end of the world to get sober. If that's what you need to do, you can have an amazing time still.
That's awesome. Yeah. Do you have a story you'd like to share about why you became sober, or is that not something you like to talk about?
Oh, I don't mind talking about it. I mean, it's relatively simple in the grand scheme of things. I got sober when I was really young. I was 17. I have a very short drinking and using history. There's a lot of addiction history in my family, and so I kind of knew what it looked like and was going off the rails. And I just feel really fortunate that I had enough. There was some recovery in my family history too.
Okay.
And so it was kind of like I saw the writing on the wall.
Okay.
And short and sweet. But I was, the first couple of years that I got sober, like I said, I was 17. I kind of hid out in recovery and 12-step rooms and just try to kind of like, you know, protect myself and insulate myself. And slowly, after about a couple of years, I started going out, and that was when I fell in love with Fish.
Right.
And I actually saw a 12-step recovery symbol on a sticker in a car at the Fish lot. And I was like, wait a second, there's other people like this.
Ah.
And that was kind of where it began. So,
and did that help give you strength, or does it continue to give you strength? Or are you kind of past the temptation stage, if you will, and you're just sort of trying to help others now?
Yeah, you know, I've been sober for over 25 years now.
Oh, wow.
So it's been a long time, and I'm around a lot of music stuff. So, I mean, I know kind of how to protect myself. I don't, you know, personally feel like I need, you know, like, guys, I'm feeling like, you know, I mean, every now and then you can get in your head or whatever, but I know, I mean, certainly in the early days, I mean, it wasn't just like about, like for me, it wasn't like I need to be able to find somebody so I'm not going to want to go use. It was just like really just the remarkable part of being part of this thing where people that were coming along that needed that and were just like, wait a second, is this what I think it is? And you mean I can really still do this? And so really just kind of the beauty of the service part of it meant so much to me in my early recovery, and still does. Like, I mean, I go to a meeting now. I mean, it blows my mind. Like, I'll pop into, you know, I don't go to as many shows as I used to, but like at MSG, I mean, there's like 200 people in the meetings.
Wow.
I mean, last night there's a space that was like a little area where it was one of the gates. They had it kind of roped off, and there was like, you know, are you in the fellowship? And I mean, like every meeting now is like well over 100 people.
Oh, so tell me about the meeting part. This is separate from a show, or is this before a show?
No, the meeting takes place at the shows. That's what's like, it's such a trip. So basically the table's set up inside the show. As soon as doors open, the table's already there.
So go to the yellow balloon.
There's a little, we have a little tablecloth that's yellow. It says a fellowship. we always have candy because most of us are junkies on some level, and we get our little sugar fix there. And so there's like, which is also kind of fun. Anybody can come by and get some candy from the fellowship.
Right.
But people just start to kind of congregate there and connect and figure out where they want to go, hear shows. And if there's somebody that's new, like it's a good place just to go and hang and know that the people around you are not going to be, you know, in an altered state.
This is roughly, so in the time scheme of things, this is...
We're pre-show.
This is 2 hours possibly pre-show,
yeah,
or 1 hour?
Doors are open. This is your doors are open. You're inside the venue hanging at the table,
okay,
you know, connect with people. And then we always have 1 to 2 volunteers at the table at all times. So what's great about it is during the show, once the music starts, you're going to go off and do whatever, but there's always someone at the table.
Oh, okay.
So if you're out there and you're new, I mean, like say you've got a couple of months sober and some dude blows a big puff of whatever in your face and it freaks you out.
Yeah.
If you're having a hard time, you can go up to the table and just hang. There'll always be someone there to talk
right.
to you.
Oh, that's nice.
And it doesn't have to be, it's not like a therapy thing. It's just companionship,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. Do you try to stick together? Like, will there be a yellow balloon out in the audience as well that people can
get? Yeah, a lot of times, here's a cool thing. We have these little yellow stickers that say one show at a time.
Oh, okay.
And so you'll see, if you see a yellow sticker, you know, they're pretty easy to spot. And that's a good way to like see other people, you know, that if you want to find somebody. But a lot of times people meet up at the table and then go, you know, figure out their game. There's always kind of little fell crews dancing in different places.
Nice. Fell is short for the fellowship.
Yeah.
Got it. That's cool. So you're a San Francisco native?
No, I grew up in Alabama.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I saw those are my
somehow first. Fish found you down there.
They did. It was a beautiful thing. I think my first show would have been at the Roxy. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Well, Paige, thanks so much for teaching us a little bit about the fellowship.
Yeah.
I personally knew nothing about it, but the main thing I took from it is that now I know where to get candy at shows.
Absolutely. We have some really rock solid candy, totally. Twizzlers, Skittles, sometimes some chocolate.
I'm going to come and say hello. I doubt I'll find Paige Clem at the tables anymore, right?
You never know. Yeah, I'm not.
Oh, yeah?
By. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, good. All right, maybe tonight, for example.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Well, thanks very much.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, have a great third show. This has been incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. It's my first Dix. It's been amazing.
Mine too.
Right on. High five.
High five. Yay.
All right. So, Tiba, thank you for co-hosting with me, kind of narrating through sort of a disjointed stroll through Dix lot. And what do you think of Paige, Tiba? I found her incredibly illuminating, and the fellowship an amazing organization.
Well, I loved it. She's great, and the whole idea is great. And I'm sure you were kidding when you said that all that you got out of that was that you know where to go to get candy.
Definitely.
But she's so cool. And the whole idea is great. And it's wonderful. And it's about dancing and music, not anything else. And
exactly.
So I got to get some friends of mine to go that, you know, that should be there. And
absolutely.
Just to see that life goes on. Hopefully then 2018, Dix, we'll see you all there.
Yep. Thank you so much. See you guys at Dix. See you guys on summer tour.
Coming soon. Osiris.
This podcast is In the Loop, the Legion of Osiris podcasts. Osiris is creating a community that connects people like you with live experiences and podcasts about artists and topics you love. Get in the loop at osirispod.com.